having a regular date night about once a week have a 350% higher satisfaction rate in marriage. That's communication, sex, that's across the board. 350% higher success rate. 3.5 times more happier, healthier, fulfilled in their marriage just by having a weekly date night. That doesn't always mean, okay, let's go out and go watch a movie or dinner or whatever. They certainly do that. But that could just be, all right, kids, don't you cross that threshold. Mom and dad are having couch time.
According to the American Psychological Association, approximately 40 to 50% of first marriages end in divorce. The divorce rate for second marriages is even higher, with approximately 60 to 67% of second marriages ending in divorce. Hi, and welcome to Mid-South Viewpoint here on the Bot Radio Network from a different location this time. We're not in Memphis in our studio. We are in Nashville, Tennessee, home of country music. This place is just booming. It's hard to get around Nashville now. The traffic is crazy. But we are actually coming to you from the Gaylord Opryland Hotel at the 2024 National Religious Broadcasters Convention. And we're meeting some wonderful folks. And I opened up with some really heartbreaking statistics. And those statistics actually even carry into God's people, unfortunately, that go to divorce court. Today, we have the privilege of having Jerry Angelo, and his wife is actually in the space with us, but she's on video camera. I know she would probably eat our lunch, Jerry, if we had her, you know, on the show too. It would be great to have her on.
Yes.
But you and your wife are on staff with Family Life for Local Movements and Expansion for the state of Missouri. You are the state chairman for the city elders of Missouri. You and Kate both have dedicated to creating this movement that impacts culture to honor, inspire, and empower marriages and families in the community through teaching, training, coaching, and the events that you sponsor. You're also the founders and directors of both Vanguard Marriage and Family Advocates in the Ministry of Marriage Awakening, all based out of Springfield, Missouri, which I love because it's just a stone's throw away from Branson.
Oh, yeah.
Which I usually go to a couple of times a year to do shows there in our Branson studio. We have a Branson studio. We have a Springfield office studio, too.
Oh, we're going to have to link up.
Well, as soon as we wrap up our time, the lady who's the regional manager for that area is going to be walking here, and you're going to meet her, Mona Stafford. Mona's here with us, and she's going to record something in a moment. But first of all, Jerry, welcome to Mid-South Viewpoint on the Bot Radio Network.
Oh, thank you, Byron. It's great to meet you in person. You did your homework on me. Thank you.
Well, it's all right there on the website. You know, of course, you sent me some things, too, that made it much easier. As we move into our time together, Jerry, tell me some of your backstory. Where did life begin? What was your home life like growing up? And when did your real life with Christ begin? That's a lot of stuff to ask you on the top end here.
Yes. Basically, I had a pretty good life, pretty good success in technology. I'm was a senior level network engineer for some Fortune 100 companies. And I had some great success with that. But then things kind of took a turn for the worst, kind of when technology kind of went from the boom to the bust. Had some things happen in my life that really caused me to seek out the Lord, because I'd kind of been doing things in my own power, in my own way.
Did it cause some strain on your marriage with Kate too at the same time?
Well, actually, I was previously married. And yeah, it did. And that, unfortunately, that relationship ended in a divorce. And we had a couple of kiddos. You know, I did what I could to help to restore that, but you know, it takes two people to go along on that kind of a situation. And unfortunately, that relationship ended. That was a really low point in my life. You know, a lot of times people say that when you go through a divorce, it's almost you know, it's a death of a relationship. It's, you know, it's brutal. It's a ripping and a tearing of what God created.
So much is not only the spouses, but when there's children. I can remember to this day, Jerry, when my parents started separating. I remember the first time my dad put us in a car and drove us over to my mom's sister's house to drop us off. Mm. And my mom got out of the front seat of a 65 Malibu and reopened the door in the back seat. And it was like my dad was at the driver's seat and she was at the back door getting my hand. Mm. And I felt like my heart was being ripped in half. And I was a child, but I can still remember the power of that. And how divorce devastated our family.
I'm getting chills because I think everybody has moments like that in when they're going through situations like that, and it imprints on their soul. Yeah. And that's why God hates divorce. He doesn't hate the people. But he hates those kinds of things that it does to people. And it's a heart-wrenching. And it's one of the reasons why, you know, that all of that pain that I had, I felt like right after that happened, I dedicated my life to the Lord. You know, I believed in him before. I was faithful churchgoer, but I never really lived my life for the Lord until after that moment, because from then on, I was like, I got on my knees and I said the sinner's prayer. I marked a moment in my life where I was like, I'm done doing it my way. Lord, I want to do it your way. And you get to use me from the rest of my life from here on out. Now, I wasn't perfect when I started that intention. He's perfecting me in that process. And when Kate and I met, and she has a similar story.
And how did y'all meet?
Through a church event at a friend's house. We were both single. We had been healing in the Lord, and we were ready to be useful to him. And so we were both, Lord, do whatever you will with us. And she had a similar story where she was previously married and had a couple of kiddos as well. We'd been praying, Lord, use us. Lord, you take our experience. Lord, whoever you have for us to, you know, because we knew we were going to get remarried. And when we met, we talked about a lot of those things. And I told her, I said, I want to take that pain and turn it into a passion to help others so they don't have to go through what we went through. And that was just the beginning of a beautiful relationship. And we've been married almost 20 years now. We've dedicated our lives to serving the Lord and to helping teach people the emotional intelligence skills needed to have the best relationships that they can.
Yeah, it seemed like you were in a healthy place then. God has started stirring your heart. He brought you into a relationship with himself. You were connected with the community of God's people, and that's where you met Kate, which was a healthy place to be. And I'm just thinking, because the statistics I read on the second marriage, our rates of divorce are even higher, 60 to 67%, as I mentioned in the opening of the program. So many couples, I think, when they have gone through a divorce and there's so much trauma and brokenness and there's just such a wax ball of everything, you know, involved. And maybe they rebound too quickly. They're not maybe emotionally healthy to move into a new relationship. They don't have that community with them, and they fall right back into the same traps that they were. And we all have idols, you know? We all have our own idols sometimes we bring in because we're sinful people, you know? And even as believers, we constantly have to confess our sins and turn away from those things that take our affection away from Christ, you know? The gospel should be the center, not only for us, but for our spouse.
That's right. And you know, the statistics that you mentioned earlier and brought up again, I just want to tell everyone, there's hope. A lot of people will debate the exact percentage of that. And I like to say anywhere between a third and a half fail.
Yeah, right.
And then subsequent marriages, it's almost a double amount of failure, right? In the 60, 70%. But God, because if you put Christ at the center of your marriage, there was a study done in, I think, the American Family Journal. I don't have the exact in front of me, but there is a very encouraging, hopeful statistic in there that says that if you put Christ at the center of your marriage and you make prayer a priority and, you know, in your serving, but the key part is daily prayer as a priority in your marriage, those percentages that you mentioned, those staggering, horrible, they're for the secular, they're for the church community, it's the same, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But the ones that focus in on Christ and have daily prayer, that percentage goes all the way down to like 1 in 1196.
Yes. Can we mention, Jerry, another category of maybe unhealthy marriages? And my wife and I are soon to celebrate 40 years in May. And you can have longevity in years together and still be divorced from each other in heart. You almost become like roommates. You live in the same house, but there's no healthy communication. There's no healthy relationship because you kind of went separate ways and you know divorce is wrong. And so you're just trying to tolerate and live and get through. And hopefully one of you will die. Maybe you can have a happy life somehow. And I mean, that's sad. That's a sad commentary. But there's many marriages stuck in that.
You know, we have these indicator lights on our dashboard of our car, right? Tell us when things are wrong. I say a lot of times, what is your spiritual life? Are you friends with the Lord? And a lot of times that indicator light transfers over into your married life. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. There is absolutely no condemnation here. You know, I've been through a divorce, but what you can do today, right now, start living for the Lord, for His purpose, in His ways, there is hope. We can turn anything that's happening, we can turn it around in an instant with God's help. If we honor Him, He'll honor us. But you're right, you know, we can drift. It's about having an emotionally intelligent relationship with God first through prayer. And then here's a thought, bring your spouse into that prayer life. Let them see your heart as you're praying to the Lord out loud. That can do an amazing thing. We have something on our website called the 6-minute prayer, and we demonstrate that. I think those can be antidotes to that drift.
Right.
Where, you know, the kids are, you know, we're doing the things with the kids, they're going to school. Sometimes that shift of identity of our marriage goes over to the kids or our work or something else. And when that's gone, we have a crisis. And so it's important to incorporate the identity that the Lord puts within that and focus on that.
Why is it so hard for couples to pray and pray consistently together? Also, you have the dynamic sometimes where the wife is praying, can pray out loud, but the husband is more reserved, feels uncomfortable praying. How can you get beyond that so couples can have that freedom? And really, as you talk about incorporating the prayer in the couple's marriage, and you mentioned the kids, it's just everyday life. You're praying for the kids, their school, the test they've got coming up, you know, your husband at work, your wife at a PTA meeting or whatever. It's just the daily life that you do together. Those are prayer items.
Right. Well, you ask, why is it so hard? Well, I'll tell you why. It's hard for me. Pride.
Yeah.
Vulnerability. If I offend you or make you angry, are you going to want to open up, express an intimate thought with the Lord in front of your spouse? It is. It's and again, no condemnation. I'm struggling with those things, too.
Right.
It seems so easy. Why can't I pray with my wife every single day? And it's hard sometimes. And I also think it's the most intimate thing that you can have with your spouse is an audible prayer in their presence with the Lord.
You know, when my wife and I were dating and we started attending this Bible college back in Memphis, we would have prayer time. Before we know it, you know, 30, 40 minutes had gone by. And it was just the most precious worshiping the Lord together in prayer. We really felt connected. And really, I'll be honest with you, I'm not saying that we've carried that all through these 40 years of marriage. We do pray together. And it doesn't have to be 30 or 40 minutes of prayer time. It doesn't have to be.
Right.
You mentioned a 6-minute prayer time. And if you've got kids, you're trying to get them off to school, and all, sometimes that's all the time you have.
Right.
Because there's busy families.
Right. But even just, you know, that 6 minutes, and it's broken down into 3 minutes each in three different areas. But even just 6 minutes can transform not only your prayer life with the Lord, but with your spouse. And like I said, it just brings a level of intimacy. If you aren't doing it, oh my goodness, give that a shot.
Where do you think, Jerry, men fail the most in relationship to their wives? Since we're guys, let's have men talk right here.
You know, I think we do have good intentions, and I think that we want to take care of our wives and we want to fix things and we love them. But I think a lot of times when we fail, even in the tiniest areas, it's so detrimental to our spirit sometimes. And that's where the enemy comes in and whispers the lies. And I think that's a big part, because from there it's, well, I'm just going to give up, or I'm not going to, you know, it's that self-talk of a failure. So we need to be able to recognize that. We need to take a hold of 2 Corinthians 10:5, that we demolish every argument that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, right? And we take every thought captive, make it obedient to Christ. And then we take Philippians 4:8, right? And that's our filter, right? Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, think about those things. So if we think about the good things and we allow those to come into the abundance of our heart, that's what our mouth is going to speak. And then we fulfill Romans 12:2, right? That transformation of our mindset to be more like Christ.
You know, you touched on something I think we ignore, and it deals with the spiritual warfare. We look at this realm and we look at trying to pay the bills and make sure the kids are taken care of or whatever it is in our homes. And we forget that behind the scenes is an adversary.
Mm-hmm.
He showed up in the Garden of Eden and fought against the very first marriage, the very first institution that God set up was
right.
Between Adam and Eve. So it should be no surprise to us.
Right.
There is the pulling down of strongholds. There's that. We have to realize that it is a it's a spiritual battle.
That's, you know, you're exactly right. That's what it is. And like you asked me earlier, what is it? And again, I think men and women, they have good intentions, but when there's a failure of some sort, there a hurt gets attached and we start fighting each other, and the enemy comes in to separate and substitute. He wants to separate us, right? And then he wants to tell us lies that things are better if we do it a different way other than God's plan. And that's where we start to drift. That's where we start to get off track. Us as men, we need to be good leaders. When we mess up, we just got to like dust our feet off and get back up and be about the Father's business. Another concept that I like to talk about is having a kingdom-minded marriage. And a kingdom-minded marriage is an example of God owns it all. We're just his servant. And that can be in your business, in your, you know, in your family, you know, whatever part of life you're in, but specifically in marriage. If you are living out a kingdom-minded marriage, any argument, any selfishness item, if we believe in the concept that the God is our Lord and he owns it all, then I don't even have the opportunity to be selfish because it's his. It's his. And so all I need to do is perform out his will and serve him.
Yes.
And if a husband and wife are living out a kingdom-minded marriage, again, not perfection, but if they're living to serve the Lord, their marriage is going to flourish because they're not worried about jockeying for position or trying to get an advantage over one over the other. It's they're serving the Lord, but they're falling in love together at the same time.
Wow, Jerry, what a good word. And I was just thinking another thing that we need to remember is our spouse, my wife is my sister in Christ. Mm-hmm. I'm her brother in Christ. You know, as you say, we each belong to the Lord. You know, we are his, first of all.
Right.
We've got to respect that and not think that she's there for my needs, he's there for my needs, you know.
I mean, we belong one to another.
Yeah, we do. There's that unity, yes.
But Christ comes first.
Christ comes first. We've got to remember that. You said something about keeping couples out of divorce court could potentially save taxpayers. Now, how does that work?
So we're affiliated with a community marriage initiative that's spanning the country of the United States of America, and we're part of our local area. We primarily work in Missouri, but we also service surrounding states in some of the initiatives that we're doing. But yeah, this group that we're working with, they spend about $1 million a year on 1 million people. So $1 a person for 3 years. So they spent $3 million. Their goal was to significantly reduce the divorce rate. And so that is exactly what they did. At the end of those 3 years, they compiled their statistics and they found that the effort that they put in reduced the divorce rate by 28%. When you extrapolate those numbers, they believe that they saved those taxpayers $28.4 million because what they found was every divorce had a public cost of $31,000 per couple. $31,000.
Wow.
So they invested $1 a person and reduced the divorce rate by 20%. But if they didn't do that, then every divorce is $31,000. Like, you know, just the minimal amount of investment led to an amazing benefit, not only for them and their families, but also the taxpayers and the community. A study done by Olson and Turvey a few years ago, they found out that when companies invest in the physical and relational and marital wellness of their employees, the returns on that investment range anywhere from $1.50 to $6.85 for every dollar spent on programs that help marital wellness. You look at that and then you look at how they applied that in the community. You know, we did a marriage, emotionally intelligent marriage seminar when I was at Bass Pro Shops at the corporate office. And so we piloted that just to see how we could do that. And so this isn't just for churches. This is for businesses. This is for leaders in the community that want to make an impact. For a minimal amount of investment, they can have a profound effect on their community or face the alternative.
And probably increase the productivity of their company because you got a wife or a husband coming to work and they're mad at their spouse or they're having a troublesome relationship. You know,
they're on the phone for an hour arguing over who's going to pick up the kids, or they're on with the attorney. They're taking long lunches. Their productivity at their company is going down.
Right.
Then there's the cost on the community, right? The courts and you know, all of those other things. And then we haven't even got into when you don't have a two-parent family, chances are they're going to go into poverty. So it's a huge cost.
Yeah. Are you finding companies are willing to get on board with this?
Yes. We've done several different events in the community, and sometimes even business owners are a little more willing than some of the churches. I think we mentioned offline, what was it? Communio has said that they did a study, and 85% of churches spend $0 investing in marriage ministry. They're investing in other ministries, which is a good thing. But we're not in our churches. We're not investing in the most important institution, the first institution created by God before church, before government. The last book of the Bible talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. So we got Genesis and Revelation. And then every other book of the Bible is woven a love story of Christ reconciling his bride to her. We need to pay attention to marriage.
Oh, Jerry.
We need to pay attention to marriage.
What an indictment for us. As we start to wrap up, I want to talk a little bit, because I know strong communication skills is a big part of what you and Kate talk about through Marriage Awakening and the conferences and the events that you do. How can couples keep from drifting into complacent, cliche state of communication with one another? You know, it's not really getting to the bare bones of communication. There's not really a strong communication. And I think one of the keys to strong communication, at least I'm learning this, I'm not the best at it, I'm not really that good at it at all, is listening to my spouse.
Yeah, I think a lot of times we're preparing for the rebuttal or the response, or I say the reaction. Yeah. You know, a response is when you've listened, been empathetic, and then you respond. But a reaction is, I'm reacting to what you said.
Right.
And it's kind of a little more unintelligently emotional. So what can we do? Yes, we need to work on our communication skills, but we talked about it earlier. Let's communicate to the Lord. We need to be prayer. Like I said, if you're going to be intentional and you want to have the most effective way of strengthening your marriage, cultivate that prayer life. There's something supernatural that's going to happen with you and your spouse. But the other thing is to try to do that every day, maybe once a week, have a date night, right? Because the folks that are intentional having a regular date night about once a week have a 350% higher satisfaction rate in marriage. That's communication, sex, that's across the board. 350% higher success rate. 3.5 times more happier, healthier, fulfilled in their marriage just by having a weekly date night. That doesn't always mean, okay, let's go out and go watch a movie or dinner or whatever. They'll certainly do that. But that could just be, all right, kids, don't you cross that threshold. Mom and dad are having couch time and we're going to watch a movie and we're not to be disturbed. You know, that could be your date night, but do that about once a week. And then maybe once a month or at least once a year, maybe go on a marriage retreat or a vision retreat for your marriage. Those are things that you can do. You can find some time. My wife and I, you know, we would spend 1 week with the kids and then 1 week on our marriage. I think the indicator, just like that dashboard light, the indicator is being intentional. I think that reveals the character of your marriage.
Yes. Jerry, this has been splendid. It's been refreshing to hear you talk such favorable things about marriage and how we can build these healthy marriages and definitely avoid divorce court and that path of all possible. And maybe, friend, you're listening right now and your marriage is broken. You're broken. You wonder if there's any hope. And there is. There really is hope through Jesus Christ. And discovering a relationship with him could be the first step, as it was for you, Jerry.
Absolutely.
For a listener right now who feels like there's no hope, that could be the first step, is maybe saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. I sinned against you. Please forgive me. I believe in Jesus Christ, died for my sins, paid the price that I could never pay. And I surrender to you, Lord Jesus, right now and ask you to save me. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. Help me to live for you from this moment on. And if you prayed that in your heart and you really trusted Christ, I would encourage you to reach out to Jerry's ministry. Give us some contact information, how we can learn more about the Marriage Awakening events and things like that.
Sure. Probably the easiest way is to go to marriageminute.org. And we have some free resources out there and some tools, the 6-minute prayer that I was mentioning. We'd love to have you come visit and check that out. Or If you're a leader and you want to partner up with us or you want to get something started on your own, we'd love to help you with that. We help churches develop a one-year annual plan on how they can build a marriage ministry from scratch. Of course, we also do different events and whatnot. So we can do that for you. We can help you do that. You know, we can train you, whatever part of the spectrum, wherever you want to serve or be served. But yeah, marriageminute.org is probably be the best way to get a hold of us.
Okay. Jerry, God bless you, my friend. You and Kate and your ministry, thank you so much.
Thank you, and may God have all the glory.
Amen. Well, friends, that's all the time we have on this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint here on the Bot Radio Network, coming to you from the 2024 National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm Byron Tyler, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.